Welcome to Super Tathis for Parshas Vayigash. We'll start with Divrei Torah this time, and we'll start with a couple of shlaz. First thing, by Yosef, it says, V'nashik l'chol echav v'yevka aleihem. We see that Yosef, he's completely forgiving his brothers to the point he's kissing them, he's crying with them, and the shlaz says, look how much a person needs to be able to be mochel other people and to go beyond themselves, because the brothers, they did something legitimately wrong to Yosef, and Yosef cries and kisses them. Next one is that Yehuda was sent, Ve'es Yehuda Shalach Lefanav, says he was sent, and Chazal tell us, the precious rabbi, the quoted by Rashi, says there he's trying to make a Beis HaTalmud, a place to learn, Shem Yisham Teitzei Horo. There people are going to teach Torah. So there's a big mussar here, because anything the person does, the first thing they need to do is do something for the purposes of ruchni matters. So just like a person who builds a house, they think first before anything they need to have a place that they can have for learning and for davening and whatnot, and a place for Talmidei Chachamim to meet. And after that, they work on the fridge and the kitchen and the basement to play and the whatever. And it's the same thing with Yaakov Avinu. He sends first somebody to make a Beis HaTalmud, and that's really the way that we should be, the way that we should be looking at things as well. Next, I have an Orach Chaim. Orach Chaim says something very interesting. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Anochi HaKeil Elokei Avicha Al Tira Meir Mitzrayim." He says to Yaakov, "Don't worry about going to Mitzrayim. Kila Goy Gadol Asim Chasham. I'm going to make you a great nation there." And he says something which we've seen or we've experienced before, is that there's an idea that Golus has a purpose. Even though Eretz Yisrael, the Shvachim go to, you know, an innumerable amount, the fact that you are in Golus, special, important, I'm going to tone this down from some of the mystical terms that he uses, there are always very important things that need to be done there. And they can't be done anywhere else. So, specifically in a place like Mitzrayim, where there is so much tuma, and there was so much terrible stuff to the point where Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to even daven in there. He had to leave the boundaries to be able to deal with it because there was so much of Avodah Zarah. He says, when Adam HaRishon sinned, all of a sudden, there were holy things in places you didn't expect, including in Golus, and specifically in Golus Mitzrayim. So there you'll find an opportunity to do things that you can't do anywhere else. And the people who were in Eretz Mitzrayim, they were the ones who went to go to Har Sinai. And they were released, I guess, from the bounds of Mitzrayim, as it were. Next, I have for you a Sforno. So it says, Yosef fed his family and his brothers and his father, and he gave them all bread. And there was no bread in all of the land. So Yosef had the opportunity to give his fathers and his brothers mead and fish and seven-course meals and everything like that. But still, he just gives them bread according to their numbers. Why does he do that? So the reason was because there were a lot of people with no food to eat. So in a time like that, it's usher even for a person who has the means and the opportunity to say, hey, you know, that's their problem and not my problem. I'm going to just keep on going on as if there was no distinction. He says, look, that's not the way. The way is to be sensitive even when you have, to be sensitive for the have-nots. Next, we have Altir Gazu Baderech. Do not become agitated, as it were, on the way. Rashi quotes, he says, Altifsi Upsia Gosa. Don't take big steps. What's the idea? So Yosef, according to the Kutzker, which I think is very, very compelling here. Yosef understood that they wanted to go so they would be able to tell the news to their father. So that's why he says, don't take a big step. Why? Because a Kadosh Baruch Hu picks exactly the right time for things to happen. And he knows when the Kates is going to come to the end of Yaakov's pain. So don't go too fast. Don't go too slow. Just go the normal way, because Kodesh Baruch Hu has a plan, and not only we can't change that plan, but maybe it's okay to accept it and let it, you know, let it proceed. Similarly, the Alshach has an interesting, similar point where Yosef is giving comfort to his brothers. And he says, don't be sad, don't be upset. That you had sold me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me basically to be the one who is going to be appropriately sustaining everybody. Why? Yosef says, look, if you think that selling me is really completely on your ledger, it can't be. Don't worry about that, because it's clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to happen exactly this way, and he caused it. And what's a good proof? Good proof is, because naturally, I should have never, ever gone from Hebron to Shechem. I knew you hated me, but somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it in my head to do that. Also, there's this concept of Raglei Chasidav Tishmor, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or Yishmor, pardon me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect the tzaddikim on their ways and protect them from all evil. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted this not to happen, he would have saved me in one of an infinite amount of ways. But despite all of this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me down to Mitzrayim because the whole world was going to have this terrible, terrible famine, and I would be able to provide food. And not only that, it was already going to happen that we were going to come in Galus anyway. So I'm just kind of the operator of that plan. So Yosef says there's really enough reason to expect that this should have been something that was a complete gezeira from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you should not feel like you can take responsibility. Continuing now with the Maharal Diskin, a beautiful idea about midos that we learn from Yosef HaTzadik. So it says, V'lo yuchal, lo yachol Yosef v'sapak v'chol ha-mitzavim alav yukrahu tziu kol ishmi alai. So Yosef couldn't deal with all the people who were there. He said, get everybody out of here. Now, this is a real shevach of Yosef HaTzadik, because when he saw that the brothers were Moser Nefesh for the other child of Rachel, that's Binyamin, he knew that it was the time to tell them. And he couldn't leave them in Tsar for even another moment. So because of that, he needed to get everybody out right away. Normally, when you have all of these honorable people in your court, like the viceroy normally would, he would, you know, wish every goodbye, tell them it's time for you to leave. He would explain to each of them individually, like a dignitary would, right? Because that was the position that he held, and that was the nature of his guests. But here, it was so important not to cause any pain to the rest of his family for even another moment. He said, get them out of here immediately. He couldn't waste his time on formalities, but instead it was more important for him to take care of his family and have good midos. This reminds me of a story I saw about the Chazon Ish. Somebody asked what was the greatest accomplishment that a human can have, and he said, just not to cause pain to another Jew. And that's the midah that Yosef has here. Next, I have a story about Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Kosov, who is known as the Ava Shalom. So he was the Rav Ha'ir in Kosov, and he had, unfortunately, you know, sometimes people don't like leadership figures of authority, and there were a lot of people who gave him a lot of trouble and just brought him a lot of tzaros. But he was a tzaddik, and that was the way he was. So not only did he not respond when people were challenging him and speaking terribly about him and making his life miserable, but he also cared about the other people and wanted to take care of their needs, even though they clearly didn't care about him and care about his needs. So when one of his great enemies, one's really a sone, came to him and he said, listen, I need money. I'm marrying off a daughter. Without any busha, he went to him and he asked for the money. So the Rebbe gave him, you know, handfuls of gold coins, and he gave him generously. And once he left, he was very, very happy. because it was a great opportunity. So the Rebbe had a brother, and his name was Rav Yitzchak. And he was more of a not a person in the stratosphere. He was a normal pasher to Yid. And he was standing there, when this happened, when he saw this man leave happily in his hand, he had all these coins, he got upset. And with all of this, he went to his brother and he just said, I don't understand. I'm astonished by your behavior. How could it be that this person causes you so much pain and so much trouble and so much challenge, and you're just going to do nice things for him? You're going to do him tovos. Is it not more appropriate? You shouldn't give him even 1 cent. He doesn't deserve 1 cent from you. And specifically, when you yourself don't even have enough money to like sustain yourself, like why is it that you're the tzaddik and you're the one who's worse off, and this person is just going to, get off, and he's going to throw a big party for his child getting married. And the Avos Sholem responded in a very interesting way. He said, look, you're not the first person who's made this time. You're not the first person who said this. There was somebody who came right before you and made the same taina, and I didn't even answer him. So Rabbi Yitzchak said, so who is this person? Who said that? And the Rebbe said back, oh, that was my Yitzhar Hara. It said exactly like you said, but just like I didn't listen to him, I'm not going to listen to you. So what's the moral of the story? The moral of the story is sometimes the Yetzer Hara comes with extraordinarily logical arguments. And especially when we're trying to do something extraordinary, it's very hard to not want to listen. But nevertheless, Kadosh Baruch Hu demands from us what he demands of us. Kadosh Baruch Hu hopes from us what he can hope from us. And we can always perform regardless of that. The next story I have for you is a story about Rav Zalman Saratskin. He was traveling to America to fundraise for helping yeshivos in Eretz Yisrael. And he arrived at Parshas Vayigash. He was present at a dinner where basically the attendees were people who were interested in participating financially in being machazik the yeshivos, but he was in for a little bit of a surprise because in the middle of the dinner, all of a sudden, these gvirim came to him and said, look, we're happy to give you money, but it's under these conditions. He gave him a whole list of conditions upon which their tzedakah would be made. So Rav Zalman Saratskin got up and he said, look, we learn in the Parsha Shavua two different expressions with respect to supporting the people who need something. Yosef, when he's dealing with his brothers, it says, V'chalka Yosef es aviv ves echov. He sustained them. But when it came to the people in Mitzrayim, it says, V'nahalem belechem uvechol mikneim v'shanahi. It says, V'nahalem, like he guided them. And this is here to teach us that when it comes to brothers, we don't make conditions. We don't make demands. Rather, we will simply sustain them and give them their parnasa, whatever they need. But when it comes to strangers, then we can start putting all the conditions and all of the all of the terms that we would want to have our tzedakah be based on. So Rav Saratskin said, based on that, I'd just like to ask you, how would you like to participate? Would you like to treat us like brothers, or would you like to treat us like strangers? Thank you very much. Have a wonderful Shabbos.